And obviously, he's dealing with family with an illness. The family, of course, is having difficulty with that, understandably. And so we spent a lot of time with them. We're ministering to them. And Rick spent way more time with them than I did, just to be clear. And so Rick was dealing with them, and the man went through surgery, and it didn't help. And all that to say, for months and months, this man grew increasingly ill because of the cancer. And one weekend, Rick just happened to be out of town. And the family wanted somebody to come and pray for this man. His name was Mark. They wanted somebody to pray for Mark because they knew that he wasn't going to last much longer. And so they can't get a hold of Rick. This is 20 years ago, right? It's before cell phones. Okay? So they couldn't get a hold of Rick, so they call me. I'm like 26, 27 years old. And I know it's hard to believe that I'm in my 40s now, but and they call me and they say, "Will you please come to the hospital and pray with us?" I'm like, okay. I was in over my head. But I went. And I walk in, into the hospital room. And Mark's there on the bed, and he clearly is close to the end. The family had a long Catholic history, and so there was actually a priest there. I guess they're just covering all their bases. And so I walk in, and the parents are there, and some brothers and sisters, and it's a serious, somber situation. Something I had never dealt with before. And I walk in, I'm like, "Jesus, you need to help me." You ever been there? Yeah, of course you have. Because this is one of the things God does to us, his people. His desire is to use us. And you know, I spent time with the family and I prayed. I prayed for healing and I prayed for comfort. It was quite moving. I remember I cried for Mark and I cried for their family, and afterwards they came, and I walked out of the hospital room feeling completely like I had just made a mess of everything. I was like, "Oh, I don't know if I said or did anything right." You ever had those experiences? And the family, I know later, they went back to Rick and they said, "We just really appreciated that Blair came. And that he cared for us, and that he prayed." And I remember thinking, "Oh God, that's nice to hear," because I had no idea if I'd done anything right or good for them. God will put us in situations that stretch us, that cause us to be uncomfortable. He'll put you in over your head. The thing for us is we have to be willing to go. Because the family called and said, "Will you come?" And I said, "Yeah, of course I'll come." And I'll be honest, there was a piece of me inside going, "I don't want to go." Because I didn't feel prepared. I didn't feel ready to deal with something like that. And the fact is this, we often find ourselves in situations where just that, we feel unprepared. We feel unsure of what to do. But you need to know this, God is always willing to help us. Our part is to be willing to go, even when we're not completely prepared for it. We like to be prepared, right? Some of us more than others. Some personalities like to have everything all than others, right? We like to be prepared, though. It gives us a sense of confidence and assurance that we'll handle whatever comes our way. And that God would look at us as people and say, He'd look at us and giggle and like, "Yeah, I don't work that way. I don't give you that luxury. I'm going to put you in situations where you're in over your head so that the only hope that you have is to cling on to me, to hang on to me and say, 'Jesus, I need you to help me here in this situation.'" And he does that because he's able. He is able to make us capable. Somebody will see what I did there with the picture. It might take you a little while. He's able because because he's God, and he's and in him being able, he will make us capable. The way that God's kingdom works is so often so different than our world. Right, where our world would say, go get training and go get knowledge to get prepared, to be ready to do the things that are going to be demanded of you. And I'm not saying those are bad things for us to do. They're vital. But the way the kingdom of God works is that we experience more of his kingdom when we give away the thing that we already have. The Bible says we reap what we sow. When we give something away, when we plant it, when we give it away, God has this incredible way of making it come back to our life with increase. It's the way that his kingdom works. He looks for us to give away the things that we have. And in doing that, we get to experience more. Maybe not of the very thing that we've given away, but we might get to experience more of him or more joy or peace or love. It's up to him in terms of what we get to reap. And one of the things I've noticed is that God will so very often ask us to give the thing that we are most jealously guarding. He'll ask for it, and he'll keep asking for it. I've noticed that God can be persistent. Have you ever noticed that about God? He'll keep asking. You know, there can be a wide range of things that you guard jealously or that you most want to hang on to. I think in today's culture, time is one of the most critical things we like to hang on to. Lots of us value time more than money. And so we might jealously guard our time, and God will keep talking to us about it until we're willing to sacrifice time for him, time for others. It works with money, it works with all kinds of things. And the fact is this, we experience increase in our lives when we give. If we sow love, we'll experience more of it in our lives. Whatever it is you have, and whatever measure that you have it in, God desires to bring to increase it in your life as you give it away to others. The wonderful thing about God's kingdom is that it doesn't deplete it by giving it away, but it actually opens the door to God's increase. And this is where we come in to what is today's scripture, which is 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 8 to 11, it says this, "And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it's written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion. And through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." We are all, each and every one of us, we are made for good works. Everybody in this room, from the youngest to the oldest, we are made for good works, to do good, to be good. And because he's able, he can make us capable of the same thing, to be good as he is good. The only reason we can be good as he is good, you know, you remember Jesus at one point answers some Pharisees and says, nobody's good but God, and that is true. The advantage that we have is that we're made good in Christ. It's not us. It's not our own work. It's not our own efforts or skills even. It's not our own knowledge. Well, those things can help us. We're only made good in Christ. And God desires us to be good in this world, to do good. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter what you think in terms of how qualified you are. You might think that you're not qualified enough to do something, or you might think you're too qualified to do something. It doesn't matter how qualified you think you are, or how capable of something you think you are. What really matters is what God says to you about who you are. about how capable you are. And he says that we can do all things in Christ. You see, you don't have to be insanely skilled. You don't have to have mad skills. Do they still say that? I don't know. I am that old that I don't know anymore. And don't care. Right? You don't have to be insanely skilled or have tremendous knowledge to make an impact in this world. Think about what God values. Think about what you see in the Bible. God certainly, he indicates that he values skill and understanding. But what are the greater themes within the Bible? What does God value? He values love. He values kindness and mercy. He values relationships. I actually feel the whole theme of the Bible is about relationships. It's about us knowing him and him knowing us. God values those things. Those are things that each and every person in this room can participate in, are capable of in Christ to make an impact in our world. He is able to bless you abundantly. How good you are isn't dependent upon your performance. I'm convinced that the family that, when I went to the hospital, prayed with Mark's family, it had nothing to do with me, because I honestly felt like I was just bumbling and stumbling through the whole thing. I was intimidated, because Mark was about to die. And so I just went in and I just tried to care for them and love them and pray for them. And they walked out and said, "Thank you so much." We just have to be willing to make ourselves available. I didn't do anything fantastic, miraculous. I was just present with them and loved them. And they experienced Jesus in the midst of it. It wasn't dependent upon me. It was just dependent upon my willingness. And God did what God does, because he's able. And in being able, he made me capable to get through it. And it says here that he's capable and able to help us in all things at all times. Now these verses here in 2 Corinthians 9 are in the middle of Paul talking about money, about the Corinthians giving a gift to him. And so he is specifically talking to them about money, about generosity. And, that's relevant, because sometimes God asks us to give that way. The greater point of this scripture is that Paul is talking about generosity, but his people being generous. The Corinthians didn't have much to give, and yet they gave sacrificially. And that's the point that we want to get at. So whether we're giving money, or whether you give time or love or whatever it is, God wants to supply to you. He wants to give back to you abundantly, because he's able. So I have a question for you this morning. Let me ask you this. On a day-to-day basis, when you get up in the morning and you go about your day, do you stop to think about what God would want you to do? About who you could be good to? Who you could demonstrate God's love to? Who you could serve? Who you could be available for? My experience is that life is busy for most of us. And so we have to be very intentional to stop and ask that question. To say to God, "God, use me today. I want to be available. Who is it that you want me to be good to? Who is it that you want me to demonstrate your love, your kindness, your mercy, whatever it is to?" Many of us wake up and we go through our day thinking about our own needs first. Maybe you came to church today with a need. And there's nothing wrong with having a need. Absolutely nothing wrong. I actually want us to encourage an environment where people come that have needs, and we pray for them and see God move and meet those needs. There's nothing wrong with it, but we can sometimes become very, very focused upon what it is we need, and we can miss people around us that also need us to minister to them. We reap what we sow. We get more of what we're willing to give away. Here's my point. If you came in today with a need, look past your need and try to meet the need of somebody else, and God meets you there. It's miraculous. It's amazing what He'll do. If you desire, if you think, I want God to bless me, do you know how you move into areas where God blesses you? You begin to bless others. If you came in and you say, I really need to find a place where I fit, where I belong, I need to feel loved. Guess what? The way that you begin to engage in that within the kingdom of God is to begin to love others, to begin to help other people feel like they belong here. Amen. And then God will meet your need in the midst of it. It's incredible the way that the kingdom of God works. It's the very opposite of the way our world works. How many times maybe you thought this, you thought, once I feel like I fit, like I belong, then I'll start doing things for God. And God looks at it and says, it doesn't work that way. Unfortunately, you don't get that luxury. Begin to do things, and then you'll find that you fit. This is the way that God's kingdom works. If you are in a position or a place where your faith feels kind of blah, you're just going through the motions, if you begin to give away your faith, if you begin to operate and move into places where it requires faith to make yourself willing, guess what? The life of God will begin to enter into your life. You'll experience faith in ways that you hadn't before, or maybe had before and then forgotten. Jesus says this, He says, freely you receive, so freely give. He wants His people to be generous. He wants us to practice generosity. And, you know, the fact that we're to give freely is counter to the way that our world works, where resources are limited, right? But God is able, it says, to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, you'll have all that you need. We've been talking to you the last month or so about serving others, about being involved. Clearly that's what I'm talking to you about again this morning. Here's what I want you to know. I'm not talking about this. Not one of us, John or Daniel or I, have talked to you about this to make you feel guilty. It's not about just trying to fill vacant slots. It isn't about that at all. My goal is this. When you serve other people, when you give sacrificially, you experience the grace of God in a way that you won't when it doesn't cost you anything. That's what the scripture is about. God is able to bless you abundantly. The Corinthians have given sacrificially to Paul. There's nothing I want more for you than to experience and to know the presence of God in your life. There's nothing I want more than for you to know the pleasure of God using you. Even if in the midst of being used, you're going, I don't like this. There's nothing I want more for you than that. Not the screaming part, but the pleasure. The pleasure of having God use you. We are designed to be good and to be useful here on earth. It's a beautiful thing to encounter the grace of God as you serve somebody else. I want you to experience that kind of fullness in your life. God is able. He has sufficient power to give each and every one of us what we need to do the things that He wants us to do. I've noticed many times that we evaluate our availability based upon our natural resources. Many times we evaluate our availability based on our natural resources. What I mean by that is it's not uncommon for any of us to say, I just don't have time for that. Or, I don't have enough money for that, to give to that. I don't feel like I'm trained. I don't feel like I know enough to do that. I understand. And those things can feel very real. But we're evaluating our availability based upon our natural resources, right? Our time, our money, our abilities, or even our emotional or mental state. But then what happens is God throws us this curveball, right? And he says he's able to bless you abundantly in all things at all times. Things and time are natural resources, right? He's able to bless you abundantly in all things at all times as you give sacrificially to him. He's able to overflow into your life so that when you offer to him your natural resources, he will supernaturally respond and bring increase in the ability to do what it is he wants you to do. I don't always understand that. Right? For those of you that tithe on a regular basis, the math doesn't make sense, right? That you give 10% and somehow God makes it more? Because this is what God does in his kingdom. And it will work, trust me, it will work the same with your time. It will work the same when you just choose to love somebody that maybe you don't want to love. When you choose to give of yourself, God will give back to you in increase. You know, as we look to the future of CLF, of our church, I love this church. I just want to tell you, I love this church. It's a fantastic church, and I'm excited to see the things God's doing. As we look to the future of it, you know, and I've talked to you already about going to multiple Sunday morning services. And the reason that we're doing that is to reach more people with the good news of Christ. I want to see us impact this city. I want to see people that are caught and trapped in darkness find the love and the forgiveness of Jesus and have their lives radically changed and transformed. He did it for me when I was 18. I knew that I was saved. But it takes a willingness from us. See, as we're looking at that, one of the things that as a pastoral staff and a board that we're asking the question, is there enough resources? Is there enough resources to do this? Is there enough people willing to serve? Again, I'm not telling you this. I'm not trying to guilt a single person. I am trying to get you to see what God wants from us, which is to reach our city. I'm going to be really transparent with you. I didn't want to go to multiple services. I wanted to build a balcony back there because I thought that was easier. And God just made it really clear, no, this is the right thing. Not only will it not cost you $150,000, but you instantly double your space as opposed to just adding about 60 to 80 seats. I'm telling you that, not because I don't believe in it. I'm telling you that because I was in a process where I say, this is what I think will help. Because I don't like the idea of increasing the workload, so to speak. And I feel God saying to us, no, this isn't how this works. This isn't how it works. Whenever we give of ourselves sacrificially, God will meet us and give us grace. And Here's what I really felt when I was talking to him about. I felt him say to me, Blair, do you see reaching 60 or 80 people? Or do you see reaching another 200? What do you see? And I was like, God, I want to reach all of them. Lord, it's every single one. I don't want one more person to go to hell. Sorry. I'm not trying to. I'm not trying to manipulate with an emotion there. I just truly feel God is wanting us to reach beyond what we think we can be and what we think we can do. Here's my goal. My goal for every believer is this, is to serve somewhere on a regular basis. And to serve in such a way that it costs you something. See, when it fits into our schedule and when we feel like it, when we just want to and we have the time, it doesn't cost us really a whole lot. But God wants us to come to a point where we have to sacrificially give. Where we give our time, our energy, our resources, even our level of comfort. I was really uncomfortable going to that hospital room. You know, we have ministries here within our church that will make you uncomfortable. Maybe you don't like being with little kids. Maybe you don't like going and with cafe and serving. You know, the homeless in our city, serving them a meal. Serving shut-ins and seniors. But if you'll give sacrificially, you'll meet God in a way, in a depth, in a way that you haven't before. Or maybe you have and you've just simply forgotten. Or maybe if you're already practicing that, then that's awesome. Just keep doing it. Why is it that I want you to give sacrificially? Because I want you to experience the grace of God in your life that can only overflow into your life when you give that way, when you give sacrificially of yourself. This is what I believe about you. I believe that every single person in this room has something really good to offer our world. Every single one of you. It doesn't matter to me what your past is. It doesn't matter to me what your struggles are. Don't take that out of context. Of course I care. But I mean that in the context of whether or not God can use you or God wants to use you. Absolutely he does. I'm often very struck by the story of the man who's possessed by demons. And he encounters Jesus. Right? And it says that he was so violently oppressed and possessed that the city, the town that he lived in had chained him up and put him outside. And Jesus delivers him. They take the chains off him and it says that he's there in his right mind. And Jesus says to the man, now go back into your village and tell everybody what I've done for you. I mean, I have to think, I wonder what that guy was thinking. He's like a half an hour, you know, maybe an hour away from just being delivered from being possessed. Like, did he stop and go, I don't know if I'm ready for that yet. Maybe you could start me out, like, maybe I could pull bulletins. I mean, it's a staggering thing. God trusts us so much. You have something so good to offer this world because if you're a believer, Christ is in you. And our goodness is dependent upon Him, not upon our own abilities or our understanding. I want to see us minister to more people, to affect more lives and families. God has designed us to do good here on earth. And when we operate in the way that God has designed us, we connect to Him in deeper ways. When we operate in the way God has designed us, we connect Him in deeper ways. Worship's a great example of that. We're designed to worship. It's one of the reasons that we start church that way. Because in singing and in worship, and it, worship isn't always just music and singing, but whenever we worship, we connect to Him on a deeper level. It also happens when we give of ourselves, when we serve others. It happens when we love the way He loves. Scripture tells us, right, that He is love. So when we love the way He does, we connect to Him in a deeper way. Grace is required to connect to God. Giving sacrificially is one of the ways that we experience God's grace in our life. So if you desire to know God more, to connect to Him in deeper ways, let me encourage you to consider where you're going to give of yourself sacrificially. Where are you going to give of your resources? If you don't know, Pastor John did a great job talking about this last week. And as he was talking about, you know, just take a step. It's a good sermon. If you haven't heard it, listen to it. It's online. He's talking about taking a step. And one of the things that was crossing my mind, I heard a pastor say this some years ago. He said, if you don't know, just get started. He said, God can't steer a parked car. Just get started. God will steer you. He'll direct you. You need to know from us as your pastors that if you think, I think I'd like to do this, we'll get you involved. And if you're somewhere down the road and you say, you know what, I thought that was it, it's not it, that's going to be okay. It's more important to us that you're in a position, in a place where God is using you on a regular basis, that you find that spot that God has for you, where you're used in the way that He has wired you, made you, designed you. Because you'll connect to Him on a deeper level as you do that. We just want to help you get to those places. The word grace here means this. It's the word charis in the Greek, which is where we get charity or charitable, generous. But it means this. It means that which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, goodwill, loving kindness, and favor. I'll read that again. That which affords joy, pleasure, sweetness, charm, loveliness, goodwill, loving kindness, and favor. It's a really big list of things that God wants to make overflow into your life. God wants you to encounter, to experience these things in Him. Let me encourage you with this. You won't feel ready. What kind of encouragement is that? You will not feel ready. Here's one of the things that I've learned. Ministry never happens in ideal circumstances. For you or for them. It never happens in ideal circumstances. Actually, in my experience, ministry is often really messy. Sometimes for you and sometimes for the people that you're ministering to. It never happens in an ideal circumstance. Let me ask you this. What in your life has ever been an ideal circumstance? Yeah, right? Very, very little. The only times that I could say it would be when it had just totally been that God encounter, that you know, God appointment. But even then, I would say most of the time a God appointment, I didn't see them coming until I was halfway into them. Right? It never happens in ideal circumstances. So we simply just need to make a decision that will be available. Let me tell you a story. Years, 10, 12 years ago, I was on staff at what was a large church in Chatham, Ontario. It's a church of 500 or 600 people. And I was a youth, young adult pastor and everything. Anyways, we had a full-time worship pastor. He was going away. I'd been in the church maybe a year. He was going away on vacation, and he came to me and said, would you lead worship for me this particular Sunday? And so I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. I like leading worship, but a little intimidated. Never led worship in a church that size. So I said, sure. And so I got all ready, and, you know, we did worship. They had fantastic worship teams, same as us here. And so I led worship all that morning. I thought it went really well. And I came down off the platform, and I sat down. They had pews. I sat down in the pew beside the senior pastor. And I crossed my legs, and I happened to look down, and my fly, my zipper, was all the way down. Not just a little. All the way. I led worship the whole time with my zipper down. And I sat there and I'm like, oh. You know, I got my legs crossed. I'm thinking, how do you do this without drawing a lot of attention to yourself, right? So I leaned over to the senior pastor and said, I just realized my fly's down. And he's like, yeah, I was trying to get your attention. So, I mean, it confirmed for me that it was obvious, right? Ministry often doesn't happen in ideal circumstances. Here's my point telling you this story. There is a point. You might not feel completely done up. You might not feel fully prepared for whatever it is that God has for you. But know this, God will use you as you make yourself available and willing. His grace will overflow to you. Because when I was unaware of the fact that my fly was down, I thought worship was fantastic. I reevaluated after, but the church seemed quite gracious about it. I don't know. I was wondering why most people had their eyes closed. I don't know. Yeah. We have to be willing, even when we don't feel completely done up and ready. God's people are designed to be good, to do good, to serve, to be generous. So let me ask you this. How can you release goodness everywhere you go? Because it's not dependent upon what you know, what you're able to do. It's dependent upon who you know and what he's able to do through you. And he's able to bless you abundantly. What would good works look like in your home where you truly begin to serve one another? What would good works look like in your workplace? Or your school, in this church, and in this city. Where we begin to serve, where we begin to give generously. What is it that you could say or do? How can you treat another person so that they encounter the love of God through you? Because that is a good work. It doesn't have to be earth-shaking. It can be, and that's fantastic. We celebrate when God does those things. But maybe you're just kind to somebody, and it changes their day. I've encountered that. Maybe you just stop and pray for somebody. Right? Your neighbor could talk to you about something they're going through. And you finally take the step and say, okay, God, I'm really uncomfortable with this, and you take the step and say, can I pray for you? Because I'm a Christian, and I believe that God cares about you, he loves you, and I think he wants to do something in your life. I don't always know what that is, but I think he wants to meet you. And then you pray for him. And inside, you're like, I am so not ready for that. And God says, I'm able. And because I'm able, I'll make you capable to do this in Christ. He's able to make grace abound to you so that you'll have more than you need for every good work. Now, I understand that for some in this room that you're thinking, I feel tired and frazzled already and you're asking me to give more. I understand. And you're maybe thinking, I can't see how I would give more of myself. That's a legitimate thing that we, each and every person in this room, will encounter at some point. Here's my encouragement to you, and it really is true encouragement, not like the other one. Is that you simply have to be willing to give more. And I've noticed that many times when we feel that tired, frazzled place where we feel really at the end of ourselves, we have choices to make. We can pull back into what are our natural resources and say, I need to hang on to my time or my energy, my money, whatever it is, to feel like I have enough. And God says, just lean into me, be willing to give it. And as you're willing to give it, I have found this to be true in my life, and I'm sure I'm not alone. When I come to those places of being willing, of surrender, and saying, okay, God, I'll do what you want, however you want, that I then get to lean into and experience His grace. And His grace meets me. It brings me rest. Pastor Daniel prayed that just this morning, that we would experience God's rest even in this fall season, which is usually right the busiest season within a church. So let me encourage you, if you find yourself there, just be willing. Offer yourself to God. I don't know what He'll say to you. I don't know if He'll say, go do something, or if He'll say, you're doing great. You're doing great just the way you are, and just come and rest. You simply need to be willing. And He'll meet you. He'll give you what you need. So, this is what I'm asking. This week, find something good to do for God. Find something good to do for God. Take your coworker that you dislike, bring him a coffee. Do something good that costs you sacrificially. Probably the thing that you're thinking, I don't want to do that. That's likely God talking to you right now. That's the very thing you're supposed to do. The thing that we often guard jealously is the very thing that He'll want. Find something good. I believe that God's been talking to you about it, and that He will, and that this week you'll have an opportunity. That tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday, that we begin to make this a lifestyle, of something we practice, of a regular commitment of doing something good in our world for Jesus. Because being used by God is one of the most rewarding experiences you'll ever have in your life. Your natural self will tell you, well, if I give and I sacrifice, I'll be more tired and I'll have less for me. And Jesus looks at it and says, no, you'll have less of you and more of me. Get that. Find something good to do for God this week. I'd like you to stand, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to invite John and the worship team to come back. I'm going to pray for you. I feel like I'm supposed to impart blessing to you. Father, thank you so much for each and every person here. God, thank you for each life. Lord, that you have created, designed, imparted your spirit upon each and every one. That God, you created them to do good. So church, I now bless you in the name of Jesus, that you would rise up and begin to do the works of Jesus here in Campbell River. That we'll begin to bow down and to serve the lost and the lonely, the broken and the poor. That we'll reach across lines that make us uncomfortable to those that we don't understand or don't even necessarily always appreciate or even like. That Jesus, we would be moved by your hand. We'd be moved by your hand. By your heart. Thank you, God. My brothers and sisters, Lord, thank you that you have a tremendous plan for us. God, we seek to do your will and your will alone with our lives, that you would be glorified, that you would be honored. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, as we respond to you now in worship, may you meet us. May you help us. May you speak to us. and it even push us, God, out of our comfort zone. Thank you for you, what you've done for us in serving others. Thank you, Jesus, your name.